I guess that's the same kind of theory that this operates on.
Trust everybody's going to vote yes on the prison bill tomorrow.
Get lots of space, you mean?
The what?
Get lots of space.
Yeah, we need lots of space. Carve out these felonies.
Well, there's a Class C felony. It's not necessarily someone that's going to be sent to the penitentiary. They're more likely to spend more time in the county jail if it's a misdemeanor, at least in Lane County. That's what the judges are doing.
Well, if an implied threat of some bodily injury is enough to make it felonious, and it should be, then I suggest that if you can't at least reach that level of proof, then it should be a misdemeanor. And we do have a misdemeanor on the list.
Well, I used to think like that, but
death is serious.
There are just so many instances of people pushing people into sex, and I didn't used to know that sort of thing went on that much.
It's one man against a young boy, and he was left bleeding as his bed.
Kindergartner is saying maybe we ought to have signed forms, but
maybe use it on the floor.
Informed consent.
Please call the roll on Senator Brown's motion.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Fry?
No.
Senator Gardner?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Hendrickson?
Aye.
Senator Wyer?
Aye. Motion carried. Senator Hendrickson will carry that bill. Senate Bill. We have some people waiting for these hearings. I'm wondering if we should do the hearings or try and get through these two bills quickly on the work session. Which bill are you waiting on, Mr. Assistant Secretary of State?
I'm waiting on House Bill 2315.
Okay, why don't you testify on House Bill 2315?
It's not on the list.
2315. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greg McMurdo, Deputy Secretary of State. House Bill 2315 is really quite simple in its final form. It had five hearings in House Judiciary.
Five
hearings in House Judiciary, a subsequent referral to House Elections, where it had one hearing, and in each instance was referred out to pass, and had little, had no opposition, as I recall, or little on the House floor. The Constitution has provided the Secretary of State as custodian of the state seal, but existing law provides no control over the use of the state seal. And there are a number of questions and complaints that we receive and have received over the years. I suppose we've been remiss in not introducing legislation earlier, but I think it's
outlaw these pins that people wear around that are given to them by admirers?
No. I think it's typical of any lame duck Secretary of State. You try to get everything wrapped up, I guess, in your last session. The bill would prohibit the possession or use of the state seal or an imitation of the state seal by anyone other than the Secretary of State without the Secretary's permission. And it defines the state seal to mean the seal as described in ORS 186.20.020. In addition, it would prohibit the use of the state seal in any form which would suggest that it is a state-endorsed activity, a commercial product the state puts out, of business or a service, or another activity, unless in fact it is a state event or a state product. As the bill comes from the House, it would also prohibit the use of the state seal in any mode which would subject the state or expose the state to ridicule, debasement, or infamy.
That reminds me of old flag cases.
It is. The language, I will get into the background and where we got this language, but it's very similar.
Not going to be held unconstitutional under the flag cases.
Someone will have a jacket with a...
Right, you remember those?
Seal on it, yeah.
Remember the cases, right?
That's why it had five hearings in House Judiciary.
Did you have a hard time keeping them serious?
No, as a matter of fact, Mr. Chairman, the bill was introduced at the suggestion of the present speaker and the former speaker of the House, and who is now chairing Judiciary, but for a different purpose. And the section that they supported was removed in the House Judiciary, and that would have prohibited the use of the state seal in connection with a campaign. They thought it was a particularly poor idea to have a candidate have private letterhead run off using the state seal and incumbent and soliciting money, that it added some kind of a...
I didn't think you could use that now.
Why was that deleted?
That was deleted because there were not enough votes in House Judiciary to get it out in that fashion.
Who opposed that?
Representative Smith inquired as to whether or not he could even write a constituent when he was campaigning on his regular letterhead, and there were a number of problems. To be quite blunt, I was out of the country when this occurred, and I came back, and it still had its subsequent referral to elections, although it had nothing in it that related to elections. And so when I appeared in the Elections Committee, they couldn't figure out why they had it, and I had to explain. This has been a very tortured bill, but I'm very supportive of the bill as it is now. Originally, the bill provided criminal penalties, and we removed those, and presently there's a civil penalty for a violation of up to $250. At the suggestion of Judge Crookham, we also added our authority to ask the Attorney General to enjoin the improper or illegal use of the state seal.
So your testimony is that if Senator X were running for Supreme Court judge, they could send out 100,000 mailers with an exact duplication of their Senate stationery with a seal on it, soliciting money, and under current law, which is not being changed by this bill, that would be perfectly all right, as long as they didn't use state printed stationery.
Correct.
Something
probably I'll have a new campaign technique.
Yeah. I might add that in the event of a civil penalty, there is a right to a contested case hearing under the Administrative Procedures Act. There's very little... There is a right, if the Secretary of State were to impose a civil penalty, there is a right provided to a contested case hearing under 183.310 to 183.550.
As a practical matter, when would you anticipate there would be some enforcement of this and a penalty imposed?
Probably, to be very honest, not. The bill was introduced for several reasons. Over the last, since I have been in the Secretary of State's office, which has been 6.5 years, we have had numerous requests of various different kinds. One from people that are seeking permission to use the state seal. Oregon, to my knowledge, is the only state that doesn't have some kind of a statutory scheme for authorizing the use of the seal. We've always said we don't have the authority to let you use the seal because we don't have the authority to prohibit you from using the seal. The Constitution gives us custody but says nothing more than that. In addition, in the last, this happens every year, but within the last few months, two things were brought to my attention. I think the most serious was in our audit of the state system of higher education, where some professors were holding a private seminar and used the state seal, and the seminar was held at the U of O campus, and there was a clear implication you'd get college credit for that. Well, that was not, in fact, a state-sponsored or a university-sponsored event of any kind, and we received complaints, and indeed that was written up in our audit of the state system. In addition, the bill, and as a lawyer I admit some question, the bill would prohibit uses that are clearly in the Secretary of State's, whoever is Secretary of State's opinion, that are not appropriate. We had a request, and I really couldn't deny it, but it didn't occur to my knowledge, to use the state seal on a birth control product. And this was during the... It wasn't funny at the time, but...
We have been accused of no growth. So
I might add, the language that is used is taken from a bill that was introduced during the last regular session of the Washington Legislative Assembly, and in particular the language on the improper use of the state seal. It was drafted by the Attorney General of the State of Washington, and I...
I wonder if it was an Oregon man.
questioned him regarding the flag burning, the Assistant Attorney General, the flag burning cases, he feels that they are clearly distinguishable in that the seal of the United States or of a state is an official object that is required, for example, on any executive appointment, as opposed to a flag, which is a mere symbol. In other words, he made that distinguishment. As I say, the House Judiciary Committee struggled with this through five hearings and was comfortable with that language. And
could I ask
Senator Gardner?
One question. On the governor's stationery, the state seal appears, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have seen documents that are put together by private developers, which are basically promotional material for an industrial development. And they will have in them, you know, this front page or something, a kind of a letter of endorsement from the governor. It's on his letterhead. The seal is included within that because that's part of his letterhead. And then that is used as a promotional material by those developers. Now, would that require permission from the Secretary of State to be used?
Well, no. Permission couldn't be granted in that instance anyway.
Why not?
To me, it's not a question of whether or not we can grant permission. Once the governor signs a letter, or the Secretary of State signs a letter,
mm-hmm.
That's a proper use by the state. How it's used after that, that was discussed in House Judiciary, is something that we can't control. And undoubtedly, if we attempted to, we'd lose in a contested case hearing.
This would say that same developer had simply put on, said, State of Oregon, and put the seal on the front of that. That would be an impermissible use unless the Secretary of State had consented.
We can't consent either. What we can do, the real guts to the bill, and what is not mentioned here, is our authority to say, if you put a disclaimer that this is not a state-sponsored or endorsed event, then of course you escape any prohibitions in the bill itself. That's what it's the language of the California Act, the language of the new Washington Act. There is an unusual twist to the Washington Act in that they have a franchise feature. Washington is going to have a centennial here shortly, and they are charging a fee for putting the state seal on mugs and everything. And that might have been a fine idea for Oregon in 1959, but certainly at this stage there are too many uses that are already out there, the jewelry manufacturers, coasters, and everything else. So I don't think that would be practical. That was suggested also in House Judiciary. Is there any way to make
it? Well, is it copyrighted? How could they use that?
The state seal isn't copyrighted. It's only described by statute.
Hmm. The other question I had was, Mr. Chair?
Senator Hendricks.
Why did they put that in about exposing the seal to ridicule, debasement, or infamy? Is there any First Amendment problems with that?
Well, I'm sure there are always First Amendment problems when you use that kind of language. It was put in there specifically so that the state or the Secretary of State, as I said, could prohibit its use. We had a request that the state seal be allowed on a condom, and I just kind of flatly said no. That would give us a little more authority than me saying no when I actually had none. Whether or not that's constitutional is debatable. As I indicated, the Attorney General of the State of Washington, and this is where we took the language, held that because the state seal was more than a symbol, like the flag is, but actually an integral part of our government, that he felt that that was sufficient.
Well, let's say if it was another commercial product, they could then use the state seal?
No, they would then be subject to Section 1, Subsection 2, A, if it implied official endorsement. Again, a way around that, I suppose, would be...
Well, then, I don't understand what this adds. I mean, you could have said with the condom, you know, the state of Oregon is not endorsing.
What it adds, to be very blunt, is a condom with a state seal that has a disclaimer, we could still say that is an improper use. In other words...
Was it an Oregon company?
No, it was not. It was in New Jersey. They were doing a... apparently part of the bicentennial thing.
50 states?
Yes.
States.
I think we'd agree there are certain uses that if we can constitutionally...
Very sensitive First Amendment issues.
If we can constitutionally...
the situation that I pose where they simply put the seal on the outside of their promotional brochure, come see a Sunset Development Corporation's new property, and there's a seal right there in the middle of it. Now, if they had a disclaimer inside there somewhere saying this is not endorsed by the state of Oregon, would that be enjoinable?
No, I don't believe it would be.
If they did not have that disclaimer, would it be?
Then I think it would be, right. I think the key is the disclaimer. And also, obviously, we have to convince the Attorney General in the event that we go after an injunction that we indeed have a case that can be enjoined. This probably, in all the sessions I've been here, I have taken more ridicule over this than any other bill, but it is a bill that I can assure you, if you've been in the office as long as I have, is really not that funny. I realize it's not earth-shattering, but it is very significant as far as we're concerned.
What other areas, Mr. Chairman, of abuse are there? Or do people use these on securities things?
Yeah. I did not want to mention it because I did in the House and I received some numerous threatening letters. The Posse Comitatus from time to time will use it in an attempt to make their identification cards look more official. Mm-hmm. And by saying that, I'm sure I will now get a bunch of postcards that are anonymous and at my home or at the office. But that is another thing that, frankly, we had in mind in the drafting of this bill. Mm-hmm. And that was why Judge Crookham suggested he's had some experience being in Portland with that group, that injunction would be more appropriate than anything in that case.
I don't know, we've got the flag salute and the prayer at the beginning of the ceremony. I wonder if we'd be bringing ourselves closer to making the... I've never thought too much about the state seal. You know, I've always liked that jewelry, but looks nice on the station. I'm proud to be an elected official.
How about jewelry? How about
he said that that's all right.
Well, I think it's rather clear that jewelry is not a state-sponsored event. It's made by the Balfour Company, and it's so marked on there, at least on the reverse of my cufflinks. So I don't think there's anyone could be led to believe that it's a state-sold jewelry. The same would be true if...
Do you give any money to the state for using
it? No. All of these points were brought out on the House side, and again, it's basically one of a common sense approach on the Secretary of State on what is and what is not. We're attempting to get at flagrant abuses, and at the same time to give some people a little comfort that want to use the state's...
Well, we want to avoid overbreadth, too, so we don't get into it. Can't get it struck down right away.
Having the greatest of respect for the Secretary of State and Mr. McMurdo, I just can't get very warmed up to this bill, so... Somebody wants to move it out. I'm going to vote no, and I think we ought to move on to something else.
I'll move it out.
Okay. Senator Gardner moves House Bill 2315 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. I
don't feel real strongly about it myself, but
I just don't see how benign neglect wouldn't take care of the whole problem myself. Who would ever know the difference? I mean, somebody would probably be offended if they saw the state seal used in some insulting way, but I think most people are busy doing other things, and as Senator Gardner mentioned, if people want to take a letter from the governor or some other official and jam it into their advertising once it's gone out in any proper purpose, I question. I have the greatest respect for Mr. McMurdo, and so he must know more about it than I do because he says he's been dealing with it all this time, but I just wonder how. Anyway, rant. Further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll support the motion because it's been amended to have it be a civil penalty and an injunction. I don't think it's going to be used abused.
Yeah, I'm not concerned it'll be abused. I'm just concerned it'll be used. Further discussion. If not, please call the roll on Senator Gardner's motion to send House Bill 2315 to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Brown?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Wires?
No. Motion carried. Would someone like to volunteer to carry that bill?
I don't care. Doesn't matter. You whatever you want it. I don't care.
You have to count the votes on this bill.
Why don't you two flip a coin and tell me after the meeting which one you're going to carry it?
I'll carry it.
I don't have any problems at all doing it.
You'd like to, Senator Gardner?
I didn't say that. What was that, Joyce? She appears to be a little more eager than me.
Well, I'll take the deal.
Yeah, let Joyce carry this.
Okay, Joyce, Senator Cohen will carry that bill. Okay.
Joyce, you have one vote for me.
Thank you.
In my 74 election, I had a letterhead sent out to every voter.
With the state seal on against
you? With the state seal.
We just established that that's okay, and continue to be okay.
Yeah. No.
House Bill 2006.
Did you
want to
get some comment?
No one said whether they're for it or against it. Who's here to explain the bill? I see Nita Paulson, Michael Muniz, and William C. Martin. Are you all three for it, or?
Well, I want to speak in regard to the amendment to the original bill. The House eliminated the increase in the notary bond, and that's what I wanted to speak in favor of. And I wasn't sure whether that was for it or against it, because it no longer has that provision in it.
Okay, well, I guess we should get Michael Muniz and Anita Paulson to give us a rundown on the bill to start with.
What bill number are we on?
2006. 2006. Notario Publico.
Good afternoon. My name is Anita Paulson. I'm a lawyer at Oregon Legal Services, and I'm here today representing the Centro Cultural, which is a community center in Cornelius, Oregon, and several individual clients that have been affected by this legislation.
My name is Michael Muniz, and I'm the director of Farmworkers Legal Services of Oregon.
What this bill addresses, well, actually, the problem is in Spanish. Notario Publico is a very special kind of a lawyer, a person that has, after getting a law degree, gone on and gotten a special certification which enables them to deal with documents. So what happens in this country when a Spanish-speaking person sees the term Notario Publico, they think that they have a very special lawyer, and they go to these people, and they do immigration work, they do workers' compensation, they do tax work, you name it, and oftentimes they do it very badly. There's a problem with the existing notary law in that it doesn't really define and nail down precisely what is prohibited. The House Judiciary Committee, I think, did an excellent job of working this bill in to a point that it has is clear and it has an effective remedy. The problem is, in the Judiciary Committee, they took the bond out because the issue was being dealt with comprehensively in another bill, with the Uniform Notarial Acts bill. I'd like to come back to the bond issue in a few minutes because the House Committee had no opinion one way or the other and didn't intend that their action would affect the existence or non-existence of a bond. But what happened in Ways and Means is they deleted the bonding requirement totally. I think it's a kind of a classic case of the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. And now we're in a very difficult predicament because we have what is now a very good law to enforce it and no pot of gold to collect. Michael?
Well, the original bill raised it from a $500 bond to $1,500?
Right. And
what do those of us that are notaries do ordinarily? I guess we just sign something that says we're worth as much, at least $500.
Well, there are several ways that money. It can be done. I've heard figures between 50 and 65% of the notaries use a private surety, and the rest go to bonding companies. The cost for that bond is for the 4-year term of the bond is about $30. If it was $1,500, it would still cost $30. I've also been told that if it was $5,000, it would still be $30, and if it was $10,000, it would be $40. The substantive committee in the House that considered this bill passed it to Ways and Means Committee with the $10,000 bond, and the Secretary of State's office originally asked that it had been upped. And one of the reasons I didn't go to the Ways and Means hearing is because frankly, it never occurred to me that they would eliminate the bond totally. The reason they did that is they upped for the four-year period the fee for obtaining the notarial commission up to $20 from, I think it was either $550 or $750. I think Greg is still here and can correct me when I go wrong. One of the problems apparently with the $500 bond and upping it is the fear that that private individuals will not sign for notaries if it is increased to $5,000 or $10,000, and that there really won't be a lot of claims from insurance companies, and so that will be a windfall to insurance companies. You know, my response to that is before we had a basically ineffective law, and we have out in the field these notaries who are doing serious harm to people, and we really haven't had a remedy in the past, and now we have a method of, in this bill, of getting some relief and probably no way to recover. I didn't mean to get into the nuances the bond yet.
Senator Gardner.
Your suggestion would be to restore the language to the way it was as it passed the House Judiciary.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, an issue to consider would be how much the committee would, would it 500 or 1,500 or 5,000.
What did it pass the House at Judiciary?
They deleted the entire bonding requirement.
I thought Ways and Means did that.
Let me clarify. There are two bills. There's this bill, and then there's another bill, the Uniform Notarial whatever bill. And that was the bill that the House Judiciary deferred to in terms of the bonding requirement, and that...
It's never in House Judiciary.
No. House Judiciary deleted it in this bill because they knew that other bill existed, and then Ways and Means pulled it out of the other bill.
Oh, I thought this was...
That's the history.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Frost.
It seems to me that a bond would not cover a loss that was caused by the neglect or misconduct of a notary public who was acting outside his office as a notary public. In other words, if a notary public practices law without a license and causes damage, I doubt that that notary's bond would cover.
Well, that's what 2006 does, and it specifically links those actions and makes those actions recoverable under the bond.
Where?
Is that part of the
House? Where does it do that?
House Bill 2006, if you look at line 9, they're specifically prohibited from using the title of notario publico if that misrepresents their authority. They're specifically prohibited from saying that they have authority to practice law by virtue of being a notary. They also have to make a disclosure statement if they're advertising in a different language.
Where do you then link that into the penalty, into the civil penalty under the bond?
On page 2, the language that was deleted because we thought that the whole... Yes, section 5.
You want and section 5 back in, and we have to decide on the number. That's it.
That's right, and also section 4, lines 2 through 4. Of section 4.
Okay, if we read...
Where's the language, though, that says that the person aggrieved by a violation of any provisions of section 3 is entitled to remedies provided in personal...
See, the remedy is the same as the Unlawful Trade Practices Act, and the remedy was taken from that statute. The original statutory reference was to that act, but instead of sending someone searching through ORS, Judiciary lifted that remedy and plugged it into this act.
Okay. Senator Gardner.
I'm still, I guess, a little bit concerned. Do you think they're going to be able to get bonds written to, we're broadening the kinds of damages they can collect against the bond?
I think that the real aim is to get these people totally out of business, and what allows them to go into business is the notarial commission. They get that piece
right.
of paper, and they get that seal, and they hang out their shingles. If you stop them from getting the seal to start with, you've gone a long way to stopping the practice.
But I just wonder who else we're going to stop in the process. I mean,
now, every legal secretary in the state practically is a notary, and the question is, I don't know if this is Senator Gardner's question, but are they? Is there going to be? My answer in my mind is, if I or I'm a notary, I would just have to. It seems to me most people who can get somebody to sign for 500 could get them signed for 1500. But
well, that would.
I'm concerned about this because we don't want a bunch of people like you were saying yourself. Having to go and buy a bond for $30 every two senators.
I guess I'm, you know, I'm not sure that she's advocating anything more than 500, except to say that you need something there.
It's
and
a rape crime, sex crime, but
I'm sorry.
I guess the issue is what's a 500, a $5,000 bond.
Well, if they delete this language in Section 5, they haven't deleted the language in the existing statute. They're just deleting the change.
The problem is
so you
there's
still have the 500 under the way the bill stands now.
There's another right. bill, Senator.
The problem is it's the other bill that eliminates the bond.
All right. You're right.
And another point is that a $5,000 bond costs the same as a $500 bond.
Yeah.
So your point as to whether or not it's going to preclude certain people from being notaries, if they have to pay $30, for example, for a bond, it's going to be the same whether or not you have to pay for $500 or
$5,000 bond will cause some people not to want to sign as sureties where there's no money has to exchange hands. And probably 85-90% of the notaries in the state are ones who are too high.
50%. About 20,000 people.